Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Welcome to Overnight America with Ryan Recker on KMOX. Sponsored by Michaels Flooring, the flooring experts. MichaelsFlooringOutlet.com.
And welcome back to Overnight America. Another hour, and we're going to open the phone lines in about 15 minutes from now and talk about what happened today in the hearings. The precursor to the impeachment hearings, the real vote, we should say. I wanted to talk to a friend of the show, someone we've had on a couple of times. His name is Tom Sullivan. There's a new article that came out. I think this was KSDK. Yeah. The end of the line. Delmar business owners watch what's next as Loop Trolley struggles for rider revenue. Tom Sullivan joining us again. Thank you for coming on to Overnight America.
Thank you, Ryan, for having me.
You follow this very closely. Every morning, I'm guessing you wake up, you pour a cup of coffee, and you check if there's any trolley stories that have been updated on any of the news sites.
Not quite that close.
Okay. Well, one of the more recent ones that came out is talking about the business owners. And for a while there, before Thanksgiving, there was a lot of chatter. How are they going to save this thing? Who's going to give money to it? Will there be people to give money to it? Will it fold by the end of the year? Is it going to be extended past the year? Is it going to have some? There's still a lot of questions up in the air. It doesn't seem like a lot's been answered in the last couple of weeks.
No, the numbers came out for November yesterday, and they took a pretty good decline. In October, they had 1,481 tickets sold for 3,173. And then at that time, there was talk about it, the trolley possibly closing down. And everybody thought there would be, you know, maybe a big surge in riders. But then the numbers for November, they only show 1,000 tickets sold, and the fare revenue was only $1,964. So they didn't even take in $2,000 from the tickets.
That hurts. Oh, man, that's terrible, isn't it? I mean, that's such – they're lousy numbers. It doesn't surprise me people would be hesitant to want to fund this thing knowing that it is almost a guarantee they'll lose money on it. And part of this, too, is there's a lot of organizations that they say, oh, they could be the ones that could give some money to it and save it, or they could be the ones. But we start to look at some of these different boards that would have to approve this, commissioners, not only in Missouri, but Illinois. There's not a lot that Illinois would get out of it. It almost seems certain that there's no one that would positively vote to give this thing more money. Do you feel like this is pretty much on its last leg, and by the end of the year, we're going to be saying goodbye to it?
Well, that's the big question of where the funding is going to come from. It looks like everybody's in favor of somebody else coming up with the money, and nobody else is coming forward, because the problem is every time they give it money, they go through that money, and then they need some more. And the central problem is there's no reason to believe that it's ever going to get better. They simply need more riders, and they don't have them. You have to realize for the month of November, they were only averaging 60 riders a day. That is pretty poor. Not exactly what you would call mass transit.
Yeah, and you said you've rode the trolley a couple of times, haven't you?
I have.
Yeah. I've rode it. I've attempted to ride it multiple times. Sometimes I didn't have the opportunity to. I've had instances where it broke down while I was on it. I've had instances where it was a perfect ride. And it's a mixed bag. But the one thing that's guaranteed every time I've been on it, I'm almost the only person on it. I've never seen the thing full. In fact, if I have my wife and kid, we may account for three of the five people on it. And it was always empty. And one of the things that you're skeptical of, they say they had a lot of riders over the weekend, and they start to put these numbers up saying, oh, yeah, look, over the weekend, there was a big shopping weekend. It was after Thanksgiving. Those numbers even seem a little skeptical, or just maybe a little bit inflated. You're skeptical of them.
I am. There's been nothing but deception coming out of the Loop Trolley people from the very beginning, and trying to make up for the fact that a few people riding it to say, well, we think we had 400 people on the Saturday after Thanksgiving, but they don't count them. They just come up with that number. I would say if half that number actually were there, they would be doing good.
You know what's crazy, too, and we look at the city of St. Louis, and a lot of people have been pointing out some of these different areas where this tax is just through the roof, you know, 12, 13% in some of these restaurants in St. Louis because of the extra taxes they have to put on after you go out and get a bite to eat, you're paying 13% in taxes. Now, if you're down in this Del Mar Loop area and they have all these other additional funds that have to be raised, people aren't using it, and you're paying these taxes to it. I'm surprised there's any business owner down there that's still supporting this thing, because they can't be getting any business off of this. There's no one riding it.
No, it hasn't really provided any additional sales for the retailers. You know, that was supposed to be the big selling point. It was going to bring all these people from Forest Park. They're going to jump on the trolley at the History Museum, and they're just going to come into the loop and spend all kinds of money. But that really hasn't happened. There's some people who are diehard believers in it, but I would say for the most part, the businesses, same as the residents of University City, I think they pretty much had it with the trolley. It's had a year now to prove itself, and it's actually gotten worse. Mm. And plus, you have the continuing problem, of it clogs up the traffic on Del Mar. You're not supposed to go around it. A couple weeks ago, I got stuck behind it, and it just stopped. I don't know why it was stopping at one particular place. And there was like 8 to 10 cars lined up behind me, and you're not supposed to go around it, and everybody's honking. And so finally, we all went around it, but we weren't supposed to.
I totally understand. I was on it one time when there was a delay, and you looked out the back window, and it's just cars as far as the eye can see. And the experience we had the one time we had a problem, I was actually traveling on it, and there's a weird thing, a safety mechanism. If the door doesn't close just the right way, it'll completely shut the trolley down. And when you're trying to get on the trolley, depending on, you know, not everyone is fit as a fiddle, so they have a handrail on one side, and then there's the door on the other. If they need two hands to get up and lift themselves up into this, because it's not an even, you got to walk up these stairs, and sometimes it's a pretty big lift for some people that have maybe some kind of, you know, problems with it or disabilities or whatever. If you grab onto the handle of the door, not thinking, maybe thinking that's the way to help you get up, and you put that a little bit ajar, it shuts the whole thing down. And then they got to call a technician out there to fix it, because the poor person that's driving the trolley can't do it on their own, and they do everything they can to try to trick this thing. And it's not like the door's not closing. It's just a little bit ajar, and it throws everything off. And I've been on there and witnessed that happen, and it makes me wonder how many other times that's happened. It's a huge flaw, and it's just, it drives me nuts. If I was someone that owned a business down there, I would be one of the very first people to say, enough's enough with this. We're not getting any benefit. In fact, it's just frustrating people at this point.
Well, you raise an interesting question, is how many times this thing has broken down. And nobody's ever really looked into that. But just for example, I guess it was like a month or so ago, I was coming home, and I saw the trolley stopped, and I got the police there rerouting the people around it. And I thought, well, I'm going to wait and see what's all happening here. Well, they come out, they're bringing the maintenance guy. I thought maybe they're going to have to tow it in. But he went through various things and got it going. But, you know, again, everybody was stuck on there for probably 45 minutes to an hour at least. And, you know, it just, when you're dealing with old technology, that's a problem you have. I think one of the things that surprises people is that also is $52 million for a trolley, and it doesn't have air conditioning. That's hard for people to fathom.
Yeah, it does have heat, though. I didn't know that. One day I went, it was a little chilly, and they had the heaters turned on. That was nice. So it at least has the heat side of things. But it doesn't matter. I mean, no one's in there to enjoy it. You know, the thing is,
that's the big problem.
Yeah, how much money they spent to just revitalize these old trolleys. They purchased these things. They spent a ton of cash and a lot of effort in order to try to get these things operational. And there's apparently a demand on these things because you can't find them everywhere. It's not like you can just go down to the trolley store and pick one of these things up. So, you know, they had to bid, and they probably overpaid for these things that probably don't work. Maybe the best case scenario is we'll be able to sell this to another city that has been able to utilize these things. And, you know, hopefully they don't see the same struggles that the city of St. Louis had. One more question for you, Tom Sullivan. I wanted to talk about the audit. There hasn't really been much said about it. A lot of people are pushing for an audit of this thing. We want to know where the money was spent, but it doesn't seem like that's going anywhere either.
No, on October the 22nd, the St. Louis County Council, they passed a resolution urging the congressional delegation, the two senators and the two local congresspeople, to have a federal audit. And I'm not quite sure I know how that even works. But anyway, they passed the resolution and, you know, got all this publicity, federal federal audit of the trolley and have not heard a word since. So I don't know what's going on with that.
Yeah, we might be shooting ourselves in the foot. You know, imagine they'd run a federal audit of this thing. They realize it was a bad investment and they asked for money back from the funds we got to begin with. Boy, we may be asking for something that we really don't want. Or that could be the option for them to say, all right, let's cut our losses. And then we won't ask for money back or whatever.
Well, I don't think that they're going to have to give money back. They're just using that as an excuse. Another thing they bring up is this could have an effect on future funding. And I asked somebody who was raising that issue, and he says, no, he can't provide a single example. So those are just kind of the things that are being thrown out there.
Yeah. All right. It's a shame. You know, I understand why there's an appeal to it. I understand why they would think it would work, but there were so many problems to begin with. I mean, not only were you fighting uphill, you were fighting up a mountain. And I think everyone could have predicted from the start that this thing was a bad idea, but they kept persevering. And I was hoping at some point they would prove everyone wrong. They haven't. They're not going to. At some point, you got to cut your losses. And I think that's where we're at right now.
Yeah, well, the big issue now, they say they're going to run out of money at the end of the year. And so the question is, what's going to happen then? Because at this point, there is nobody stepping up to fund it.
Yeah, there is, and I don't blame them. You imagine if this was an episode of Shark Tank, they go up in front of all the sharks and they gave the revenue report. There's not one of them that would invest in this thing, you know? Tom Sullivan, thank you so much for giving us an update on the Loop Trolley.
Thanks, Ryan.
Tom is great. He comes on the Quiver River Electric KMOX guest line. I follow him. He's a local watchdog. He does some really great work. Just wanted to point that out. All right, so coming up, we're going to play some impeachment clips and talk about that a little bit. If you want to talk trolley, you can. We'll leave the phone lines open at 314-436-7900 or 800-925-1120. If you watched any of it today, if you have any observations, we can go over those next on KMOX.
Now back to Overnight America on KMOX. Sponsored by Michaels Flooring, the flooring experts. MichaelsFlooringOutlet.com.
Overnight America. I'm your host, Ryan Recker. So thanks for joining us here on KMOX. We broadcast all across the United States of America. We are all over it. So you don't have to be in St. Louis to participate. We'll take some calls on the impeachment talk in just a little bit. A lot happened today, and maybe we'll go through some of the moments. But before we do that, reacting to our friend Tom Sullivan, who called in before, let's go to Chesterfield and Stu, who's calling in. Hi.
Hi. I'm older than most of y'all, much older, 72.
Mm-hmm.
In 65, when I graduated University City High School, they had driver's ed as part of the mandatory requirement.
Mm-hmm.
And part of the test was to be able to drive down Delmar and keep control of your vehicle as it went in and out of the railroad tracks.
Oh, okay.
Because the railroad tracks would grab your tire and throw you left or right.
Mm-hmm.
And after, this is only the first winter coming up, but after a couple winters, when the ice gets in there, freezes and thaws and cracks up the street, you're going to see trouble like never before.
Mm-hmm.
Finally, the only one who's really benefited from this trolley is the Messiah of the Loop. I certainly would not want to ride after dark the Wells Goodfellow Corridor, which is one of the highest crime areas in the city of St. Louis,
mm-hmm.
knowing full well that with the drive-by shootings in the city, that a bullet could come through the trolley car window at any moment.
Mm.
I think it was the biggest mistake anybody ever made, almost as silly as you city giving $70 million to Costco.
Let me mention a few things, but hold on. I just wanted to react to that. As far as I know, there hasn't been any crime issues on the trolley, as in there hasn't been any of that. Now, it's not to say it can't happen. I just haven't heard any of it. The other thing is, when it comes to who's benefiting from all of this, I don't know if anyone has benefited from the trolley. Maybe part of this audit will show where the money's going. So if someone financially benefited from this, I'd like to know. And I think a lot of people would like to know, too. And maybe we can find who the winners are. It very well, Stu, there could be no winners in all of this. No winners.
When you've lost as many businesses in the U City Loop, and only one owner is the dominant owner of many of the businesses down there, it kind of suggests it's more than a coincidence.
Oh, no. You know, I don't think there's any foul play going on. I really don't. I do believe that since Joe Edwards has a lot of land and, you know, business that is there, he was just trying to think of a unique way to, you know, continue to grow that area. I don't think there is any reason to believe he was doing it for devious purposes. I really don't.
And I believe in the tooth fairy.
Ah, come on! Well, let me ask you this. There used to be train tracks in that area. When did they get rid of them originally? Do you know?
It was in the late 60s. There were two sets. It was called it's called the Del Mar Loop for a reason. Mm-hmm. That's where the Del Mar streetcar line turned around and started heading east from its westerly direction. That's why it's called the Loop.
When did they get rid of it? Do you know?
Late 60s.
Late 60s. Okay.
Early 70s.
And then after that, they thought, you know what would be a good idea? Let's rip it up and do it again.
and allowed four lanes of traffic. Mm-hmm. Now you got one lane of traffic each way, maybe?
Yeah.
And if
one of the streetcar
trolleys stops, you've got nothing. You've got gridlock.
Right, and there's a lot of opportunities for them to stop. Let's say a car's parked past the line, and they have to get a spotter to make sure they don't hit a car. It could be an instance where they wait for a tow if it's completely blocking. Could be the thing's broken down. Could be the thing refusing to move. And a lot of times, you find that there's no way to get around it anyway. And sometimes it's off where it doesn't affect anything. Maybe at the very end of the loop, there's that one library stop, which is the very opposite end of the History Museum. That doesn't hurt anything if it gets stuck there. But if you're anywhere else, it's stuck.
In November, there were a total of 100 riders. I'm surprised there are that many because in all my 72 years, I've never wanted to leave City Hall and go to the Missouri Historical Society.
The History Museum you're talking about?
Hmm?
You mean the History Museum?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I like the History Museum. I like that.
I love it.
Yeah.
But I don't think it's a destination point from the U-City City Hall.
No, I don't think it is either. I think people that are at U-City, they have all the attractions they want right there. I don't think they want to hop down to the History Museum. Now, given the History Museum...
much of the population is college students who go to their apartments to study or go back and forth to school... I doubt very seriously if they want to spend their time at either A, the U-City Library, B, the U-City City Hall, or C, the History Museum.
Mm-hmm. I think that the Del Mar Loop, that whole area, is self-contained, and there's really no use for a trolley to go back and forth to it, and I think we're seeing that with the attendance.
That's pool hole.
Yeah. All right. Thanks, Stu. Good to hear from you.
Nice to hear from you.
Well, that's a good... I had no idea that back in the 60s and before that, they actually had the tracks built into the road. Then end of 60s, early 70s, he's estimating that's when they ripped them up and got rid of it. And we said, get them right back in. You know, rail is the wave of the future when it comes to traveling. Hop on the trolley. Not even Mr. Rogers could save it at this point. This is Overnight America, KMOX.
This is Overnight America, sponsored by Michaels Flooring, the flooring experts. MichaelsFlooringOutlet.com on KMOX.
All right, Overnight America. I'm your host, Ryan Recker, on Twitter, at Ryan Recker. We'll talk some impeachment here in a moment, but we could take some of your calls. If you want to talk trolley, you can. And I think Tom Sullivan did a great job breaking down some of the developments as of late. 314-436-7900. And Jerry, who's calling in from Hillsboro, what's going on?
How you doing, Ryan?
Good.
On this loop trolley, I mean, it never was intended to be legitimate transportation, obviously. It is simply a tourist attraction. Quite an expensive one. To try to attract people to come ride the trolley and shop the loop. Okay, that's what it is.
Right.
How well they promoted that, they need to hire a good ad agent.
Well, it kept getting delayed over and over and over again.
Yeah,
no one knew.
I mean, that's all it is. It's like you know, people expected, oh, you know, let's write it for legitimate reasons. No, it's not meant for legitimate transportation.
Yeah.
It's simply a tourist attraction.
Right, exactly.
And, you know, and if you want to afford it, it's going to take a while to get people to come, and, you know, the bad press with the crime, that's healthy.
Yeah.
Yeah, it was kind of a bad idea. They probably could have done something a little cheaper, you know, got the same effect. Like maybe horse-drawn carriages or something.
Yeah, people, you know, like those. They're more reliable. Same thing. They could have just put a bus. You know, it's the city of St. Charles, they'll do these bus tours.
Yeah.
And
oh, yeah.
Never have an issue with it. It's free. There's people riding it. People use it. It's open 7 days a week.
Yeah.
No issues with it.
Exactly. And the uniqueness. Like maybe buy double-decker buses. Those are always fun. Or something.
Yeah.
But I think they're just reaching back to the 40s and 50s, like that one caller said. Yeah, there were streetcars all over St. Louis. And yeah, they were a pain. And yeah, they broke down and caused traffic problems. But that was the legitimate mode of transportation back then. So this is just a throwback for people to, you know, introduce their kids to how things used to be or what have you. You know, it's simply let's try to find something to attract people to, you know, there's nice things to do at the Loop if you want to make it a destination for 3 or 4 hours. Oh, let's go have some drinks. Let's go eat. Let's shop some stores. And let's ride the trolley.
Yeah, you know? It's just a fun thing. You're right. It's all it is. It's a fun thing. It's not a serious thing. You wouldn't use it to get around. And you can't do that with 2 miles.
Exactly. And then the impeachment thing, what a ridiculous joke. Mm-hmm. I mean, please, what they're trying to hang this president with, you know, what I want to know is what's the dirt on Biden? Mm-hmm. If it's so controversial, what is it? Should we know about dirt about former Vice President Biden? You know, that's what comes to me. But be impeachable?
Did you watch today or did you just kind of flick it on and off?
I kind of read on MSN as I was going through.
I gotcha.
And you watch some of the televised things. I mean, these people got to be, you know, if they watch themselves, it's just absolutely ridiculous.
Yep.
Asking the same question over and over and over again.
Oh, yeah. No, that's kind of the point of it. And there's a lot of questionable things that you go back and you look at the witnesses they decided to call. And, you know, three that were called on by the Democratic members of the committee, one by the Republican. And they all had certain things to say. And it was all based on their certain opinions. But the thing that they kept injecting into these opinions were, you know, they try to use these buzzwords. You can tell that they're trying to be lockstep. But a lot of times you wonder, why couldn't they just find people that were independent or perhaps have no bias? And maybe you can talk to those guys because there's obvious biases going on there. Obvious biases.
Yeah. You know, nobody with obvious legitimacy is going to expose themselves.
All right. That's
the main thing.
Great. Thank you, Jerry.
Thank you, sir. Appreciate it.
All right. Good call from Jerry. Now, I want to point out there were four professors that they called to talk about the impeachment in the impeachment process and the history of the impeachment. Three were called on by the Democratic members on the committee and one by the Republicans. But I want to point out the Republicans didn't call a Republican professor. They called a Democrat professor. So there were four Democrat professors there, the Republicans calling one of them. And it's interesting because even the Democratic professor, the one who's been critical in the past of, you know, pretty much Donald Trump all along the way, his opening statement even was, I didn't vote for him, and I don't think I'll vote for him again. But he said, this is nonsense. Like, for example, let me play a couple of clips before we take your calls at 314-436-7900 or 800-925. 1120. So if you're on the line, don't go anywhere. I'm going to take your calls before we go to break. I just want to play these to set it up real quick. Jerry Nadler, he had an opening statement. He was trying to set up what was going on and how they're going to be handling the questioning. But, you know, I don't believe him one bit when he says this.
Ladies and gentlemen, the storm in which we find ourselves today was set in motion by President Trump. I do not wish this moment on the country. It is not a pleasant task that we undertake today. But we have each taken an oath to protect the Constitution, and the facts before us are clear. President Trump did not merely seek to benefit from foreign interference in our elections. He directly and explicitly invited foreign interference in our elections. He used the powers of his office to try to make it happen. He sent his agents to make clear that this is what he wanted and demanded. He was willing to compromise our security and his office for personal political gain. It does not matter that President Trump got caught and ultimately released the funds that Ukraine so desperately needed. It matters that he enlisted a foreign government to intervene in our elections in the first place. It does not matter that President Trump felt that these investigations were unfair to him. It matters that he used his office not merely to defend himself, but to obstruct investigators at every turn.
So I think he needs to add on to the end. It does not matter that we're basing this off of opinion and we're not basing this off of evidence. We're basing this off of opinion, not evidence. And I wish he would have said that at the end where he says, oh, we don't take pleasure in all of this. This has been the game plan all along. This is how you hoped it would end out, because obviously you're using this as an opportunity to take advantage of these proceedings in order to try to use this against your political opponent in the 2020 election. And there was the one professor that was called on by the Republicans, who is a Democrat, by the way, Jonathan Turley. I wanted to play this one quick clip from him, and I edited it down about just what an abuse of power this is.
If you impeach a president, if you make a high crime and misdemeanor out of going to the courts, it is an abuse of power. It's your abuse of power. You're doing precisely what you're criticizing the president for doing. We have a third branch that deals with conflicts of the other two branches. And what comes out of there and what you do with it is the very definition of legitimacy.
Mm-hmm. But you're not going through that. He raised a lot of really good points, I thought, and the points being that when you go down this path based on what we've seen so far, you really make it so the impeachment process is not a legitimate process. You make it so the impeachment process is a political process. And it's a process of, well, I guess technically it is a political process. What I mean is you're making it into something that is used as a political tool to take on your opponents, as opposed to using it as a real opportunity to decide what a court could decide. Let me get some of your calls on this at 314-436-7900 or 800-925-1120. And let's start with Gene, who's been holding on. Hi.
Yes, please. I'm calling because the nucleus of a neighborhood is a manicured lawn and beautiful. And the nucleus of these hearings is twisted language. Too many people talking, too many people giving opinions in which they think that the American public can dissect everything what they say. All they're doing is confusing the American people and taking the American people's money and wasting it. It's going to cost about $300 million, I guess, when this is finished. And it's a shame. Look at the money that was wasted on the Russian issue. Mm-hmm. It's really a shame that we have to go through this. And also, I need your opinion on this professor who should know better. Why does she use President Trump's son in speech? And I thought that was ridiculous. She should be recalled, don't you think so? He's an innocent person, but yet and still she used him as a fall guy.
Yeah, and we're going to play that clip. It happened with Professor Pamela Carlin is her name. And she she got a little worked up, a little emotional in all of this. I could just imagine she's a nightmare to work with if you are, like, in customer service. She seems like someone that would not be a pleasant person to be around. So when she was going through, she invoked Barron Trump in a very inappropriate way. Not only that, but she was called out for it, and she later apologized. But I'm going to play that clip. I'm glad you brought that up, Gene. Thank you for calling in.
Okay, bye-bye.
Bye. Let's go to Tammy in Collinsville. Hi.
Hey, Ryan, I haven't talked with you in a while. Good to chat with you again.
Oh, yes, good to chat with you.
Yeah, well, so many points. I agree with Gene. The money wasting is outrageous. Mm-hmm. And as far as Trump wanting to get to the bottom of the corruption in Ukraine, I think that is right on. I mean, as a hardworking taxpayer, if we're handing over money, just like when Obama handed over pallets of cash to Iran, I was livid.
Uh-huh.
Well, if we're handing over military aid to Ukraine, which is loaded with corruption, I want our government to be good stewards of that. So Trump was right on in trying to get to the root of the corruption, which I believe the smoking gun is in Ukraine, because I think that's where it is started. We didn't find anything with Russia, and I believe that Ukraine is probably, with all that corruption, where a lot of the stuff got started for the Russia hoax and now for this hoax. I mean, I thought his phone call was fine.
Yeah, you know, they have, since they have new regimes in there, and there's people that will maybe take this a little bit more seriously when before in the past they weren't taking it seriously. I want to point out one thing. Everyone that brings this up about Ukraine, and you see this in the news, and it drives me crazy when someone on a newscast will use the term debunked conspiracy theory.
Exactly.
Drives me nuts. And, you know, they're doing that specifically because they think that they're using it as a way to try to sway the public opinion.
Exactly.
And they're stating it as a matter of fact when it absolutely is not a matter of fact. And they use that. It's a manipulating tool that they've been doing.
It sure is. These talking heads, you can see where they're almost begging Republicans to move over and to have it be bipartisan. Right now, it's totally partisan, all from the Democrats, and they're almost begging legislators, Republican legislators, to, you know, well, why aren't they honoring their oath of office, and why isn't the needle moving, and the American people need to really have this explained to them. And I'm thinking, we're seeing through the BS. We see what you all are doing.
Mm-hmm.
You know?
Thanks, Tammy.
Another point about Turley real quick. Mm-hmm. Oh, sorry. I just got so much.
Go for it.
Turley, you blew my mind. He's a Democrat?
Yeah.
I did not know that.
Yeah, he started his whole statement. He was talking about, just in general, I didn't vote for Donald Trump, and he was very specific in the ways that he brought that up. Yeah.
I did not know he was a Democrat. But see, he's a fair Democrat because he is taking it, you know, as the facts are leading, which the other side's facts are all gobbledygook, but I thought it was interesting that he said, I think, two or three times that the process, you know, you're building a case, but you're trying to rush through it, and you need to take your time, and then maybe more information will come out. And I'm thinking, yeah, just keep taking your time, run it right up to the election, because it will guarantee that the Democrats lose. Because the longer this nonsense goes on, the more irate the American public is getting,
mm-hmm.
and the more we see that things are not getting accomplished, like the Canada-Mexico USMC thing, lower drug prices. So it's like, I just went to pick up a prescription the other day, and I was like, why is this costing more? And they're like, oh, that drug went up. And I'm like, great, we need Trump.
I am, I'm going to try to find his opening statement where I can play it for you so you can hear what he said at the very start.
Oh, okay, yeah.
I'll do that.
That thing about Barron, too, that was very crude. I was shocked she said that.
I'll play that, too. Hey, Tammy, thank you for calling in.
Uh-huh, Ryan, take care.
All right, bye. All right, so speech. I'm going to go and grab the full opening statement.
Thank you, Chairman Nadler, Ranking Member Collins.
Let's just do this right now before we go to break.
Members of the Judiciary Committee, it's an honor to appear before you today.
This is Professor Jonathan Turley from George Washington University. I think it's right at the start he brings it up here.
And that is the impeachment of a president of the United States. 21 years ago, I sat before you, Chairman Nadler, and this committee to testify at the impeachment of President William Jefferson Clinton. I never thought that I would have to appear a second time to address the same question with regard to another sitting president. Yet here we are.
Mm-hmm.
The elements are strikingly similar.
Do I need to fast
intense
forward?
Intense rancor and rage.
Yeah, okay, this is what I'll do. I'll find the clip. I just went to the full statement. I thought my memory said it was right at the start, but you might have said a few things before. I'll get to that point, so don't go anywhere. We'll do it right after the break. Just to make sure I'm getting the facts right. This is Overnight America, KMOX.
Now back to Overnight America on KMOX. Sponsored by Michaels Flooring, the flooring experts. MichaelsFlooringOutlet.com.
All right, we don't have a ton of time here. So I went to the video and I found the part where he mentioned this. At the start of his impeachment hearing, opening statement, Jonathan Turley Let me just play this real quick.
I'm not a supporter of President Trump. I voted against him. My personal views of President Trump are as irrelevant to my impeachment testimony as they should be to your impeachment vote. President Trump will not be our last president, and what we leave in the wake of this scandal will shape our democracy for generations to come.
I guess he doesn't say it there. I maybe I'm mistaken, but I really thought there was a point where maybe it was during the cross-referencing or at least the questioning of the guest, the witness, not witnesses, but the guest at that point. One of them brought it up, but I guess not. But, you know, not a fan of Donald Trump. So the Republicans bring in someone that is not a fan, but still says this is an abuse of power. He had a lot of great things to say in there. And there was a couple of moments which we don't have time for. Again, we're going to have to do it right after the break. And if you are listening maybe on the replay hour and you're thinking to yourself, wait a minute, this is the last portion of the show, just go to KMOX.com/ONA. And from there, you will be able to listen to any part of the show that you wish. There's a couple of back and forth that are worth bringing up. And Pamela Carlin is the person that brought up Barron Trump. Not a good look. Not a good look at all for them. So I wanted to play that clip too, in the scolding from Matt Gaetz that came immediately after is well worth replaying. You can follow me on Twitter at Ryan Recker. If you want to call before the break, start lining up and we can talk more about these impeachment hearings. It's very easy for you to do that at 314-436-7900 or 800-925-1120. That first phone number, you can actually text in 314-436-7900. This is Overnight America on KMOX.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.